Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Good blustery Sunday morning. This is Stu. Mike is in Cleveland. Annoying the people in Ohio. joining me in studio is my good friend Garen Allen, Chef Garen Allen.
Good morning, everyone. Hello, Mobile.
Yep. Garen, you may recognize his voice. He's been on the show once before a couple of years ago. We had him call in. I believe you were in Seattle at the time.
At the time, yes, actually. And that was right when my book had just come out.
Right. And it was a barbecue book. Right.
It was. Yeah. Absolutely. It's fantastic. And the second one is in the works as we speak.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a great day, and I bet competition cooking and barbecue comes up a lot today.
I'm counting on it. That's what I'm here for.
Leanna is at the board, and Phil is in there screening calls. Is Ian here today? It's been a little...
No, it's just us.
Just us.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. We came in. The head honcho himself, Sean Sullivan, was in here taking care of some of the hurricane news and getting things updated to keep everybody informed of what's going on in the Gulf. We have some annoyances, folks. That's what it is. They're just annoyances. Anybody that's been through Camille or Frederick or Ivan or Katrina is going to look at a Cat 1 and go, that's going to be a rough day. You know, it's just going to be a rough day, but we can get through it. And always, as usual, Mobile probably won't take a direct hit, but we'll get grazed by everything.
We'll be on the bad wet side, though.
Yeah, because if and Leanna probably remembers this, is that between Ivan and Katrina, Mobile got sideswiped by like 7 storms in a row, but no direct hits, and which was not helpful to everyone else,
yeah,
because Mobile's infrastructure was up to support the people in Biloxi. When Katrina came through, our infrastructure was there and ready to go to help the folks in Pensacola when Ivan came through. So we were able to help our neighbors to the east and west. And, of course, they've in turn helped us out when we've been hit before. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's we neighborly down here, buddy.
I guess so. Southern hospitality, you got to love it, right?
Yeah. And in the next segment, we'll get in a little bit to your background and everything, sure, let everyone know. But we've had some reopenings happen that are really exciting us. Roosters is reopening. I believe it's just going to be to go and delivery at first. But, Garen, you got to try this place. Our buddy Frankie Little.
Mm-hmm.
And he went down to Mexico and just learned all these different tacos. And
ooh,
he came back and right on Bienville Square, he's opened one of the best taquerias you've ever been to. And he's got this sandwich, and I forget the name.
Mm-hmm.
It's like pork, it's good.
I will be sure to order that.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't remember if it's carnitas or barbacoa or what, but the pork is on a sandwich. The sandwich is cut in half and set face down into a tomato broth.
Ooh.
So you take a bite, and it's saturated with the broth. Then you set it back down, and it resaturates.
And it starts all over again.
Yeah,
that sounds
it's
fabulous.
It's like these there's these tacos that I'm wanting to try now, and maybe Frankie will do them.
Uh-huh.
And the name is eluding me, but they're served with a bowl of broth, and you dunk the taco in the broth. And I'm kind of thinking that's where Frankie was going with this sandwich, or maybe that sandwich came with it. But it is so good. They make their own hot sauces.
Oh, yes.
The tortillas are much thicker than what you're used to. They cook them on a flat grill with enough oil that they still get crunchy on the outside.
And that sounds like my kind of taco right there,
yeah,
I'm telling you.
It is great. And being a West Coast guy, you've had a little bit of experience with some Latin cuisine.
Absolutely, yes. That's some of my favorite foods to eat. Tacos, any kind of burrito, street food in general.
Yeah,
we
are so into street
good
food right now.
Yeah.
And there's so many good shows for people that are streaming right now. One of our favorites are the ones with Phil Rosenthal, who was the producer and creator of Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
And this guy is the real life Raymond.
Oh, wow.
He is. As far as mannerisms and stuff, it was clear that Ray Ramone was basing his character on Phil, and he's just delightful. And he gets the most childlike looks on his faces when he tries some new concoction that he's never heard of, and it's delicious, and his eyes just light up, and he beams. And he's got the same sense of humor that drove Everybody Loves Raymond. So it's funny. The end of the show, he does a Skype with his parents, who are like in their 90s, and tells them where he's been in the world that day. That's a great show. And, of course, I'm sure you've seen some of the other things like Chef's Table.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, some of my favorite things to watch. So.
Yeah, and when they do these street foods, and the best places in the world for street food are Latin America and Southeast China, or Southeast Asia, all of Asia. I just want to go friends with Simon Majumdar. And, you know, he's a great world traveler. And I've told Heather, I want to go to Asia with Simon.
He'd be a great tour guide.
Yeah. And, you know, his wife is from the Philippines. They spent a good deal of time there. And he woke me up to Filipino food. A young girl from New Orleans, a young chef, she used to go by the Kid Chef when she came on the show when she was 12.
Wow.
To support, get this, buddy, her third cookbook.
Wow.
And then
she went on
Teen Chopped and walked away the grand champion.
Fantastic.
And now she's going to culinary school in Miami, so she's all grown up now.
Wonderful.
But her background is Mexican and Filipino, and she won Chopped by doing lumpia, the egg rolls from the Philippines. And I went, I got to try these.
Mm-hmm.
And they're remarkable.
They're unbelievably good. I could eat like a dozen of them at one time. Well, maybe not, but at least I give it a valiant effort.
I told myself that the surgeon that did that patched me back together and duct taped me after I had an accident is now in Crestview. So when I go over there for him to look at all of his work, because he says no other surgeon's going to touch me with a 20-foot pole.
Wow!
And so I go back over there to Crestview. And there's a lumpia truck down the road that he told me about. And I went up there and said, I'll take a dozen.
Nice.
And I thought, I'll eat these on the ride back to Mobile. It's an hour and a half ride. It'll be perfect. I was in heaven for three. And then on the fourth one, I went, I need to stop.
Right. Food coma's about to hit. Yes. And you know, it's funny, Sue, that you said something about the fact of, Filipino food. It is. The Filipino community in Seattle is so large.
Right.
And it's just the food is absolutely amazing. And the love and the soul that they put into it, you can taste it because it's so simple, and it doesn't always have to be like the whole commercialized type thing,
Right.
It's like the side of the road. I could stop there, and make multiple stops and just, I could eat for a week, just on those,
Yeah. And what's great for the less adventurous Americans is when you see a Filipino menu, there's a lot of stuff you're going to recognize because they were a colony of Spain for, I think, two centuries.
Right.
Everybody's last name is Hispanic. And a lot of the food, adobo figures prominently in Filipino cuisine. And this is the kind of things we're going to talk about with Garen.
I'm very excited.
We're up against the first break. When we get back, we're going to talk to him a little more. But you can always join in on the conversation. If you got questions about the Emerald City, I'm sure Garen would love to answer.
Absolutely.
343-0106. Or you could textify if you like. We are taking textimony today.
I've never heard that.
Well, I'm being a little cagey. And once again, Mike, if you're listening up in Cleveland.
Miss you, Bubs.
Yeah, you sure are. And come back safe, buddy.
Get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And Garen.
Well, for today, so.
Yeah. We have a special surprise for everybody. We're going to be joined from Cleveland, Ohio by Mike Bailey. Longtime listener, first time caller.
Well, I don't know if it's the first time call. I did call from New Orleans one time.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
First time listener, long time caller.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike, we're going to talk to Garen about his background. You want to fire off the first question, or you want me to?
Why did you move down to this hot-ass weather we got?
Well, that is a great question. The fact
must be
that
love. It must be love.
It absolutely is. The love of my life is actually sitting here in the studio with us. We were married as of last Monday.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And it's just, you know, a change of venue. I don't know if most of y'all know, I was a chef in Seattle for several years before I came down here to do the World Food Championship. And there is just so much unrest up there and so much peace down here that, you know, I thought it was important, you know, for us to, you know, unite our families and try and stay positive and move forward with everything that's going on.
Garen, there's love down here. There's lots of love.
I feel it,
you know?
Yes.
The South has been through all the hate in the past, and we've moved beyond that. So
indeed.
A lot of love down here.
Yeah. So
we welcome you.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and my wife, she's putting up with me all this time, so I guess, you know, I'm doing something right.
All right. Now, are you formally trained, or are you like me, you went to the School of Hard Knocks?
No, actually, I am a graduate in 2007 of the New England Culinary Institute in Vermont.
New England Culinary. Who do we know, Mike, that went to the New England Institute? Was it that fella from Atlanta, Alton Brown?
Alton Brown, yes, indeed. He graduated in 97, 10 years before I did.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I worked with a guy who went there at the same time as Alton, and I was like, well, what was it like having Alton class? Most annoying guy you ever met. He said he never stopped asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Which is probably why he's like
he
the
culinary. His own show because he never questions.
Exactly. Culinary scientist.
Yeah. So I'm very familiar with New England Culinary Institute. It's got a great reputation, and you're not bad. So
I do my thing occasionally.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like you got involved in food sport.
I did. Back in 2016, I had been hearing about the World Food Championship, and I didn't know the direction, so I had some friends point me that way, and I had won my first golden ticket then, and the year after that, and the year after that, and then I ran into these guys, and we've been great friends ever since. But, I mean, the World Food Championship is a family. You know, and it's been absolutely amazing, which is one of the reasons why I moved down here. I mean, I met so many people, including my wife, at the same time. And, you know, food is one of those things that just brings everybody together. And in competing on these, you know, different, you know, categories and levels and whatnot, it's the best in the world. You know,
right.
Home cooks, chefs. You know,
cookbook,
whatever.
Authors, everything.
Everybody, exactly, Stu.
Yeah, yeah. Anybody that can sling a spatula is there.
Or at least boil water.
Yeah, and, you know, you and I, we got to experience it from in the trenches.
Absolutely.
Mike always took the spectator route. And Mike, what's it like from just a purely spectator's perspective at World Food Championships?
I admire it. I mean, what you guys do and why y'all do it is admirable, and it makes you wish, you know, if you had gone to learn those skills, and you know, and then, you know, the time you put in to get to a level, it's level building. It's, you know, I think like when we had Virginia College there, people come out of that school thinking they were going to be on the Food Network the next week, you know, and it
doesn't work like that.
There's a lot of work. There's a lot of work behind the glory.
Absolutely.
And if they go to great schools like Garen's went to, and Pete and Sarah Lubitz and all them, you know, that's dedication. That's a passion and love, and you know, to be admired.
Yeah. Now
people only see the glamour part. They don't see the real work that goes into it. It's kind of like the wine business.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't see all the work I do behind the scenes. You know,
drinking all that wine, making sure it tastes right.
I hate when that happens.
Now, Garen, question.
Look, I just wanted to say hey, and we're probably going to try to come back early because of the storm. But I think after today, we've already seen everything here. And we've had a great time with my cousins and meet family I never knew existed, like I said. Met a cousin out of Tennessee who lived up here and moved back down there. And they just went overboard up here with a reception and having entertaining us. And I got a great family. That's all I can say. And
that's awesome to hear.
Charlene, she's standing right here next to me. We're getting ready to go get a car. Rent a car because we didn't have to rent a car because everybody was hauling us around everywhere.
You had your own taxi service. That's awesome.
So, all right, buddy. They wanted to, you know, and show us around. They did a great job of that. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was awesome yesterday. God, it was fun. I enjoyed it, and it just blew me away, especially when I saw Brittany from Alabama Shakes guitar up there. That just blew me away.
Yeah. Awesome.
And all the others, but there was no Lynyrd Skynyrd in there.
Hmm.
Just blew me away. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You need to have a talk with somebody.
Right? Yeah, I got to talk. So I'm going to have to write somebody a letter.
There you go. Right, send them an email.
Y'all have a good time, Garen. Thank you for
being here. Hey, man, no doubt. We'll keep your seat warm for you. We'll see you soon, buddy.
Tell your wife, thank you for getting up early and putting up with it.
All right, I will. Thank you. Right.
Provolone, right, buddy. Provolone.
Yes.
All right, bye.
Yeah. Bye now.
Yeah, I'm glad he's having a good time. You
it
know,
sounds like it.
Cleveland had a bum rap for a long time.
Uh-huh.
They're part of the Rust Belt, which were industrial cities that were booming in the late 1800s that have fallen on hard times. Detroit's one, Baltimore, Buffalo. But Cleveland really has done a good job of reversing their image in the mm-hmm. last couple of decades. They went from the river catching on fire to having the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
So, you know, it's fun to poke jabs at Cleveland, but you know, good on them.
Well, I mean, and also, too, you keep in mind, I mean, look at the food scene that's up there. I mean, you've got Michael Simon, who has kind of taken over up there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just a lot of the other up-and-coming chefs as well, too. So, yep. You know, if anybody ever goes up there, you know, give them a chance, you know, and explore and just enjoy yourself.
Right, because all those people move there for a reason.
Right.
You know, and they've brought the reason back. And that was one of the things that I've always tried to tell people from, you know, the background of a travel and food writer is that every town you go to, no matter how big or small, there's a reason that someone has decided to call it home.
Right. Absolutely. You know,
there's something about it that they love more than any other place on earth. And your job as a travel writer is to find it and let people know. I'm still looking for why they love St. Louis. That is the only place I have ever been to that I'm like, I don't ever want to go back there again.
Really?
Was St. Louis. And it's got so much potential. And it's a beautiful downtown. But I was driving a 4x4 at 3 miles an hour downtown, and the streets were destroying the vehicle.
Wow.
Because they still got cobblestone roads from the 1800s mm-hmm. that the Corps of Engineers told them to rip up in 1905 because they were outdated mm-hmm. and they're still using them.
Mm-mm-mm.
But the arch is killer.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
The arch was killer. We, you have already announced you're not doing World Food Champs this year. Understandably.
And unfortunately, yeah. It was not an easy decision to make. I had consulted my team and my wife, and we just ultimately said that it's just not safe this year. So
yeah.
We will start again next year.
Yeah,
and we'll head back to Dallas.
Yeah, because, you know, I pulled out last year because we had the unique opportunity to go visit Heather's sister, mm-hmm. who lives in Minot.
I remember that, yes.
Minot, North Dakota, and we drove it. So, you know, that's a week, and plus, right around the same time as World Food Championship, we just decided we can't make both.
Right.
Family was more important this year.
Absolutely.
This year,
is.
For the same reason, probably not going to see me in Dallas. But
yep.
You went to Dallas last year.
I was in Dallas last year, correct.
Okay, when we come back from this break, I want to hear about Orange Beach versus Dallas and how it varied and how it was similar. Because, you know, I didn't get to experience the Dallas part of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've spoken with people that were in Orlando when it was there. Simon was a judge the first year in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And, so it has really morphed over the years.
Absolutely.
And I would like to talk to you about the Dallas experience when we come back, and also the food. because it's a great eating city.
Love it.
I have had some of the best Tex-Mex in my life in Dallas. So when we come back, we're going to talk more with Chef Garen Allen about World Food Championships, Dallas, Texas, and why the hell he came down south.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
With a little slice of love. I got no clue what the chicken pot pie is made of. Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And we are back in studio. We had a brief visit with our pal Mike Bailey, calling all the way from up in Cleveland, Ohio, which is famous for Drew Carey.
Yes, indeed.
And we're joined by my good friend Garen Allen, Chef Garen Allen, by way of Seattle, Washington. Now, I don't
yes,
know
sir.
If I don't know if I've discussed this with you or not.
What's that?
My parents met in Moses Lake, Washington.
Okay, yep.
My dad was
I'm
in the Air Force.
The
there was an Air Force base there that I think they closed in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But he worked. He was stationed in the Air Force. She was in a secretarial pool that worked there. They met at a dance hall one night. And then they had 57 years of romance.
That's wonderful.
But so I am familiar with Washington State, although more the eastern
side where Moses Lake is.
Yeah. Right. My mom's parents ended up the whole family living in Spokane, so that was my experience. And Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my mother went to high school. It's one of the most
beautiful areas I've heard. Yes, yes.
Yeah, the nickname is Little Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
Because it looks like one of those little Swiss mountain villages.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a nice little lake up there, and it's just gorgeous. And my mother worked at a cafe in high school that my grandmother owned. And every day during the summer, her first customer would get a cup of coffee, and his name was Bing Crosby. Because Coeur d'Alene,
that's a good company to have.
Yeah, Coeur d'Alene was then and still is a playground for the rich and famous. And most of the average home price up there is like $1.7 million. And they're all huge castles all along the lake. It's just stunning. And it's, I think, an hour and a half from Spokane, maybe? I don't recall.
Probably, give or take. I haven't been over in that area yet. I've flown over it, but
right.
I haven't been there.
Yeah. And we would make those trips. We would drive from Mobile to Spokane, and we would hit Yellowstone Park. And to any American who hasn't been to Yellowstone Park, whatever your next vacation plans are, cancel them and go to Yellowstone. There's no place like it in the world, and it's right here in our country.
That's wonderful.
And see it before it blows up again, because when it does,
right.
Nothing west of the Mississippi is going to be useful.
Good to know.
And it's only overdue by 50,000 years.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, give or take. But we were talking about World Food Championships in the last segment, and you competed in Orange Beach.
I did.
And you competed in Dallas.
That is correct. Well, in Dallas, actually, well, I competed, yes, but I didn't have my own team. I was a sous chef for two teams there.
Right.
I took a little bit of a break because they were short.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got the call, and I was just like, absolutely, you know, let's just get down there and win this bad boy.
Yep.
You know, and both of them were in the top 20. And, you know, with the categories in there, it's so competitive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best part about it, too, though, and the difference between Orange Beach and Dallas is the seashore and the sand, which I really, really missed. But Mike McLeod has done, and the entire staff of, you know, the WFC have done such an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, taking care of us and making sure everything goes as smoothly as possible, because with that caliber and with that many people, it's not easy.
Right.
You know, you've competed there as well,
mm-hmm.
too, Stu. So, I mean, you know what an undertaking it is, but I think the difference is, you know, the different venues, and I think that we are trying to find a home.
Right.
And we've been, you know, Orange Beach is absolutely beautiful. It's one of the reasons why I even moved down here. Well, that and the fact that I got married, you know, but it's beautiful down here. It really is. But Dallas is, Still a great venue, and now they're at the fairgrounds this year, so they'll have even more space to be able to kind of spread out and whatnot. But, I mean, it's anywhere that we go, it's always a good time.
Right.
You know?
Because it's people who shared interests, shared backgrounds, and you just – and we're collaborators.
Absolutely.
Chefs, just like good songwriters like to work with other good songwriters, we like to work with other people that are creative and all of that. But we don't get a whole lot of chance to do that in our regular jobs.
Absolutely. So you're following somebody else's menu, and it's by their rules and whatnot. So when you have that creative outlet, you know, you take that bull by the horns and you just go for it.
Yeah. And then, you know, with WFC, you're getting to collaborate with 400 or 500 of the best chefs in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. It can be like my first year. It was a little overwhelming, but then I got to it because I was the baby of the bunch.
Right.
You know, but then, you know, I'm a part of the family, and that will never change just because I won't be there this year.
Right. Because I still keep an eye on what's going on and who's doing well. And, you know, you're now up for being a member of WFC Team Alabama, which is the Alabama football of WFC.
Uh-oh. Tell me what I'm in for.
Well, last year, two of the top 10 were from Team Alabama.
Yes, Mike Statham. Yep, absolutely. And, Matt Statham, sorry.
and our good friend, you probably met Dan. He did a lot of the demos in the VIP section
with Chris. Yep, I was there.
Mm-hmm. He was on one of the teams. And we got to get Dan on to hear how things went in Indianapolis and get there.
But you know, we won't know anything until October 3rd.
I know, so we got to hold off to see who won last year.
Correct, yes.
But he was on a team, and he brought his son along. He was the third member of the team.
Oh, wonderful, yeah.
And so his son got to see all of this, and on the way back home, his son loves Duck Dynasty.
Oh, no.
Well, Chris Sherrill is good friends with the Robertsons. He helps Miss K develop recipes and stuff like that. When he was with the Florabama, he would take a week off and be their personal chef while they were on vacation. He's been duck hunting and cooked duck for the guys at Duck Dynasty.
Oh, man.
And Chris kind of made a call or two, I believe, and set it up so Dan could stop by and actually go in. His son got to make his own duck call.
Wow. And all right.
So imagine us at 12 or 13 getting to do stuff like that.
That's an incredible experience.
Yeah, you know? And that sets up the next generation, too.
Absolutely.
Because I'm at an age, and I don't know about you, where I'm starting to look at less about this is what I can do and what I've done, and more like I just want to sit back and see what the next generation
is. I'm so glad you said that because, you know, I am not in the restaurant business anymore. I'm more of the teaching and training and doing things and meeting wonderful people, you know, and my wife calls it semi-retirement because I'm still doing those things and I'm, you know, being a personal chef and whatnot. It's just I'm not, you know, slinging pans anymore in a restaurant, you know, and banging it out on a weekend, you know, and running out of product. You know how it goes.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm doing the butchering thing now. I'd like to be home with my girlfriend.
Yeah, and that's the exact same thing here too, you know, because I'm there when she wakes up. Mm-hmm. And I'm there when she comes home, and it's the best feeling in the world.
I'm right there with you. That's what I've been experiencing. And, you know, making the transition from chef to meat cutter, I get to enjoy talking to probably a dozen people a day. I've never cooked with brisket. How do you do this? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. There's one guy just wanted to know if we had a suggestion for a rub. And I said, well, you know what they do in Texas? Salt, pepper,
that's it.
Yeah, maybe a little garlic thrown in there, but let the meat shine.
Absolutely.
And then there are other things I'm like, I tell you what, you're really good. You're not going to believe this. Go out there and get this weird stuff and marinate it in it. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I like, Heather loves it, I get chicken thighs. And Herdez makes a salsa verde with avocado in it. And
okay.
We call it guaca salsa because it's like they pureed some guacamole into a verde.
Interesting.
And it's fantastic to marinate chicken with and cook it on the grill because it's going to give you the citrus from the lime juice in it. You know,
break down the connective tissue and all that. And
right.
Just make it super tender.
Yeah. And then the skin gets so crispy and caramelized from, you know, the natural sugars that are in the salsa. Mm-hmm. We just love it. And we'll eat just chicken thighs. What's left over gets pulled, turned into tacos. You know, and I'll
be a believer of that.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a and she did not like guacamole, and that was the first thing I had her try. She's like, well, I really like this. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't taken him yet, shame on you. Squid Ink, Panini Pete's place, Squid Ink's in downtown Mobile.
Okay.
She tried avocado toast for the first time there,
mm-hmm.
and now she likes avocado toast. And she will occasionally get into some guacamole. That's been nice. But Pete, CIA trained, started out with the little sandwich shop Panini Pete's over in Fairhope.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go for the beignets; they're fantastic.
Big fan.
He owns Sunset Point there in Fairhope, which is a beautiful seafood place right on a marina where the boats come in. Every night at dusk, someone gets to toast the sunset and ring a bell in the outdoor seating area. It's
sounds like my type of place.
Yeah, you would love it. And then Ed's Seafood Shed, he purchased on the causeway from a couple that was ready to retire. He's got that going. But in Mobile, he's got Squid Ink, which is a gastropub.
Mm.
And he uses the name in some of the recipes. He's got a drink, the Mob Hatton, I believe it is, has Squid Ink in the drink. And son, it is fire. They're serious about their cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good. They're really inventive. Some of the best burgers. His Spaniard burger has olive salad on it, chorizo, manchego cheese. It's just unreal.
I get down with that.
He does deep fried deviled eggs.
Okay, you had me a deep fried.
Yeah. He does paella bites.
Just, oh, wow.
Yeah, just fried little paella balls.
That's a lot of flavor right there.
Yeah, it's very – he lets his guys be very creative with it. It's a very cool, hip vibe. You know, it's Squid Ink, but some of the stuff looks like Tattoo Ink influenced. He's got signs from other Mobile restaurants hanging up in there. It's just really a great place, great food, and – man, I guess I got to make you a list, don't I?
Apparently so. We got to make our rounds, you know. So, I mean, I'm still trying to scope out the area anyway.
All right. Before we go to the last break, Keith messaged in, and he says, we hear from Mike every week. We would love to hear from the chef. So we're giving the rest of the show to Garen. And I got to tell you, man, Squid Ink, you got to try it.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. I want to hear a little bit more from Dallas when you come back.
Absolutely.
But I want to hear what you ate. Because we do a little segment called Where'd You Eat?
Uh-huh.
Where we talk about places that we ate. And I think you filling us in on some of what you saw in Dallas would be really, really good.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And we'll probably have to wrap it up. And I'll school you during the next break on how we say goodbye here.
Heard that.
How much longer we got, Leanna? Two, one.
Oh, love this song.
Right on time.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All that cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight.
Oh, man. You noticed that Billy Hyland was
here.
Oh, yeah,
Billy Hyland in the house.
We got an announcement to wait. I'm glad you're here.
Okay, let's do it.
Billy Hyland has just announced 95% cancer-free.
Woo!
Those you don't know,
he
was stricken here a few months ago, but like Billy always does, he just kicks the butt of whatever
he's
it is.
He's a fighter. He always has been.
Good
since
to hear,
I've
buddy.
Known him, but yeah,
woo!
Good to see you, buddy. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
got to have some positivity in the world.
Yeah,
know?
And he is quite a battler
and one heck of a chef.
Do you know that when qualifying for World Food Championships in 2017 came up, I was laying in a hospital bed, unable to compete. I had had an mm-hmm. accident at a restaurant that I was working at. It was a freak accident, but it took me off my feet for 2 years. And I get a message, or I message Billy, because I had been keeping up. Billy and another chef of our friend of ours, Robert Krabs, were doing a head-to-head for a golden ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't let anybody know what they had cooked up, because both of them had already earned a golden ticket and were going. So they had both decided beforehand that whoever won was donating the ticket to me.
Wow, that's love right there.
And, you know, so I was just keeping an eye on them because I didn't know anything about this. And Rob had just been messaging me, "You really wish you could make it." And I went, "Well, so do I, but I'm in a hospital bed. You know, I can't. I thought I was going to get out, but I'm going to keep an eye on Facebook, see how it goes." And I see that Billy won, and I messaged him, and I'm like, "Oh, man, I'm so proud of you, buddy. I can't believe it. You're going to World Food Championships." And he replied back with, "Actually, Chef, you're going to World Food Championships." And he told me the story of how he and Robert had already
Got theirs.
Yeah, and then one of my favorite pictures is when I was able to get healthy and go down to Floribama and meet Billy, and he presented me with the golden ticket. And you wouldn't recognize me. I'm like 190 pounds in that. I was just starting to get healthy again. And Billy saw me cooking with Simon. We did an event, Chris and I, and Will Hughes, another great chef from Baldwin County. If y'all hadn't met Will yet.
I know of Will,
yeah.
Yes.
We were cooking in an event with Simon Majumdar at Seasons in the Sun Farm, where we actually cook on the farm. And Garen, when I tell you cooking on the farm, we had tents set up and a flock of geese, or Heather would tell you correctly you call geese or turkeys or whatever. Turkeys came right through our tent. Partridges. There's pigs right there. I mean, it's the farm-to-table experience you would have ever
had. Probably got to go pick your own vegetables, too,
just
I'm sure.
About, yeah, they yeah. all came from
the farm itself.
There.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And, that's amazing.
And I was after the first round of surgeries, and I was healthy enough to go, and that was a 12-hour day, but I had to sit down every 2 hours or so, but they all took care of me and let me join in, and I got to show Simon something.
No kidding.
How to slice a cake with dental floss.
Okay, that's a first. You're going to have to show me that one sometime.
You get the unflavored dental floss, the waxed, wrap it around your fingers just like a saw, and it is the best thing to cut a cake with because you've got that straight line wherever you want it. It's great.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And
I've never heard that.
But there was some kind of cake we were doing for that, and Simon had asked me to cut it, and I pulled out my dental floss from my chef bag, and it was a great experience. And he did a porchetta.
Ooh, yum.
Check this, because he gets there, and he goes, Chris, I've got the belly, but where's the tenderloin? Chris goes, I didn't think anything about ordering any tenderloin. And Simon's like, well, what are we going to stuff it with? And Chris goes, we did a wild game event last night. We got about 50 duck breast in there and some plums and apples. So that's what we stuffed the porchetta with, was duck breast, plums, and apples.
Sounds like you had your own episode of Chopped on there, huh?
Oh, man, it was great. And that comes back to what you and I talked about, the collaborative thing. When you get together with a bunch of chefs and you get to create and improvise, it's just like that. Now, I wanted to talk about the food that you got to eat in Dallas, because everyone identifies naturally barbecue.
Right.
And Mexican food. Did you dive deep into any of it? Or
I actually, the funny thing is, I occasionally like a good burger. Who doesn't? You know? And there was this halal spot called the Lime and Dime.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you had your regular burgers, but it's all halal meat.
Right.
And it's some of the most flavorful, everything is, it's almost like the kosher.
Right. And for those who don't understand, halal is essentially the Islamic variation or approach that kosher in the Jewish community comes in. They have an imam come in, they check the procedures, everything's got to be done by specific rules, and they bless the food. And just so you two know, right down the road here is Seven Spice. All of their food, their meat, are butchered by their own butcher, who has an imam come in and bless it. So everything meat they sell starts out as a living animal. They have to butcher it from live for it to be a halal.
Right. And I'll tell you what, though, and then, they actually had one of the best chicken sandwiches I've had in a very long time was what they call the copycat from the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the chicken was also halal as well. But, I mean, everything was, you know, trimmed, breaded, deep fried. The sauces that they made were in-house. And it was, you know, the prices were amazing. But, I mean, but the food was outstanding. I mean, just this little burger joint, you know, right in Plano, probably one of the most memorable spots I went to. You know, then you have your steakhouses and your barbecue places and whatnot. But the majority of the food, actually, we ate, like, right at the Hyatt Regency, you know, in Dallas, and mostly from most of the competitors, you know.
Right.
So
yeah, that's not bad either.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, it's like I must have gained 20 pounds when I was down there. It was great.
Well, I'll tell you, when I competed in burger at Orange Beach, mm-hmm. and I had all that extra burger meat left over and some time left, and I made Sloppy Joes and sent them into the judge's tent.
Oh, nice.
And just some scratched little Sloppy Joes on little slider buns.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that was fun to do.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, that's one of the things I really loved about being in Orange Beach is, you know, the spectators are just absolutely amazing. And they would come from all over. And then, you know, being able to, you know, give them some whatever you have left so they can try it, so they know what we're competing for.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, at some point somebody, you know, would be wanting to come and compete with us, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and to inspire the people. Well, definitely. We're in the last minute of the show.
Okay.
It flew, didn't it?
It did. I was like, where did the time go?
This is fun stuff. Mike, you're welcome to take more vacations so that Garen can come in.
We will be more than happy to come back. And, man, just enjoy yourself and be safe coming home, bud.
All right. If anybody wants to get in touch with you about your personal chef services, you got a contact page or something?
Yeah, it's on Facebook. It's ChefDaddy1508. And it's mine and my wife's page as well. So.
All right, man. I sure appreciate you being here.
Man, thank you for having us.
For luring him down here and making him a permanent fixture here. You're in the real L.A. now.
I had good reason to.
And, folks, we had a great time this week visiting with Garen. Next week, Mike will be back in town, and we're probably going to hear a whole lot about Cleveland. He said he went to a lot of mom-and-pop diners. And, you know, if you're in the Midwest, that's really what you want to do.
Absolutely.
Get out there, tip your servers, because they are certainly earning their tips right now, folks. Be nice to each other. And more than ever, provolone.
Provolone.
Cowboys will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ain't two before a fight, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty mind. Eat steak, eat steak.